City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
For too long, marginalized communities have been the victims of racial injustice. Stories left untold.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Problems left unchanged and promises left unfulfilled.
We're marching to be seen, we are marching to be heard, and we continue to march for change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Scott Willis. The calls for racial, social, and economic justice rang out across the nation and here in central New York following the police killings of Black Americans. They also echoed in the boardrooms and offices of corporate America. The racial divide that played out at times violently on the streets has at least some of its roots in institutional racism that limits opportunity for people of color. Those who work in the diversity, equity, and inclusion field have taken notice and have a renewed sense of purpose to make race part of everyday conversation in the office. Will the attention on discrimination be the key to raising awareness among employees who usually avoid or even ignore these long simmering issues? How might the racial tension on the streets translate to changes in business culture and help bridge racial gaps? In this episode of City Limits, Winds of Change, we check in with two women who work with company leaders and employees to tackle DEI issues and who bring personal perspectives to their roles. Here they are in their own words.
For myself, I'm a Latina, I'm an immigrant to this country, I'm part of the queer community, so LGBT issues are important, I'm also part of hearing, so like all of these kind of intersecting identities that for someone, if they care about me as a person, they need to understand how all those pieces of me intersect and that I might need different services in order to be successful. And so it's not just Sadie the female or Sadie the Latina or Sadie the queer woman or Sadie the woman who wears hearing aids. Like it's all of those pieces combined. Sadie Fisher, title is Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. Most people have been taught you stay away from certain topics such as politics, religion, race, those being the top ones that you don't talk about in the workplace. We try from a variety of different perspectives to help people get to know the whole person. And all of us are more than just our race. All of us are more than our gender. All of us are more than our age, right? There's so many pieces and life experiences that make up the beauty of our entire, you know, authentic selves. How do we bring all of that to the table and share with people who we are?
If you are one or two or just three folks of color at a particular organization and firm, you're walking in the door again with those life stressors that many of your colleagues probably don't know, don't understand.
My name is Dr. Johanna Rogers. I'm the Director of Community Engagement and Empowerment for Economic Inclusion at Center State CEO.
So the conversation, the way that you communicate about what you're bringing to work, if you feel like you are able to even communicate about it, is automatically when you come through the door at a different place than your colleagues. Specifically with African-American community, we're seeing a lot of that. The matters of police brutality, people are questioning why Black lives matter. And it's not to say that other lives don't, but there is a specific experience that you have as an African-American person living in the United States. And it has to do with our historical legacy of race. And, you know, it's the fear of the police, where most people are thinking, you know, you call the police when you're in trouble, they're going to help protect you. That's not the experience with many African-American, particularly African-American men, you know, but as we're seeing now, even women, and the type of anxiety or stress that causes. I was working with a company last week, you know, they send their employees out into the community And some have encounters where they're told, you're not welcome in this neighborhood, or prove to me that you are who you say you are, but they're riding around in this company's vehicles, right? It's like this double whammy. And how does the workplace deal or address or acknowledge that that is a real experience for a certain percentage of their employees? I've been doing this work on race for a long time. And the one thing that I've learned is that nobody talks about race. I mean, Black people talk about race all the time because it's part of our everyday. Walking out the house right now, standing here talking to you, I'm like, let me make sure I'm not standing still, or, you know, folks might take me a certain way, right? I was conditioned to think like that growing up because of my safety. And safety in the sense of limiting any opportunity to have to engage with the police unnecessarily. And my mom would kill me because I don't have any ID on me right now. But these are the things you think about, right?
We shifted. We had to say, no, you have to talk to your employees. You need to check in with folks to see how people are doing, even if it's simply just to say, like, how are you feeling right now? Like, what's going on for you? So that was something that we were very intentional about sharing across our organization with all of our leaders and providing tools and resources to say, how do you start a conversation? Telling people, yeah, bring up the topic of race, right? And what's happening in the world right now. There's the awareness piece, you know, kind of taking those blinders off and looking at the world from more of a racial equity, you know, lens, or even looking at different, you know, forms of diversity. But then there's the action. And so as a company, we oftentimes have that conversation of, you know, the difference between intent versus impact or awareness, you know, leading to action. We can have the best intentions, we can know all the things in our head, but if we don't do anything with that, then it's only so good. We were doing a really great job in terms of, you know, having an office, having staff and resources in place. But where we fell short is it was that office over there. That's so-and-so's job. And in 2019, you know, when I had the honor of serving in this role, really kind of shifting that for our organization and to say, like, we should treat this the way we treat anything else within our company. And DEI needs to be everyone's responsibility. Right? It's not one person's job. One person doesn't change an organization. It takes all of us to be living, right, these principles and these values day in and day out.
You know what? I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure how companies were going to respond. But the one thing that I've seen is that they're thankful, grateful, and excited. And they're taking a deep breath. We were almost taught that it was taboo to mention it. You know, in some cases, maybe you do have hostile views about what it means to be a person of color in this country. But for the most part, people don't know how to talk about those things. And the companies that I've engaged with have said, thank you for creating this space. I just needed to just be able to ask the dumb questions or admit that I don't understand how to think about it. And if we don't create spaces for leadership to say that, then where do they gain the skills to lead differently? There are organizations that have had DEI teams or initiatives stood up for a while. And one of the things that I've found is that they've been having conversations, but the conversations have not often hit the nail on the head in terms of, okay, now you have to act. We're at a moment right now, partly because of COVID, and us reimagining day-to-day life, we're in a prime time to do something to drastically change the status quo. And when I say status quo, I'm specifically talking around our safety as a community, our health, but also race is wrapped up in there. And so I'm working with organizations to say, listen, at this moment, we have leaders, the CEOs, folks that are in decision-making positions, have the space and capacity to say, you know what, we are going to hold ourselves accountable because with the direction that we're headed in, we have to do this work. We can no longer afford for, you know, 11, 12, 14% of our population to continue to be targeted in certain ways or continue to be thought of or paid less simply because of the color of their skin.
We've rolled out the 21-day racial equity challenge internally to all of our employees. And we rolled that out back in September. And that was huge for us as a company too, in terms of being very intentional to say, let's bring in these topics and resources and conversations so that all of our employees have the opportunity to learn more about systemic inequalities, to learn more specifically about systemic racism and how people, specifically white people, can become better involved in terms of being better allies in this space. So having people from the very top of the organization all the way through to entry-level employees making recommendations on what more they wanted to see has been also a huge part of the conversation. What else should we be doing, right? So involving people across all levels of the company. Even if an organization is committed to eliminating racism and addressing systemic racism, we can't ignore other forms of oppression in that process. In order to address racism, we also have to address how racism intersects with ableism or how racism intersects, right, with homophobia. And so you have people of color that have disabilities, and you have people of color who are also a part of the LGBTQ plus community, and you have people of color who may be veterans. You have to start somewhere. People who are listening, if your company hasn't started anything, like, it's never too late to start, but understand that we always have to start with kind of the awareness. What's our goal? What do we want to accomplish? What's our mission? And then bring people along the journey so that we can collectively move the entire company. And that's been a huge shift for us. And I'm proud of to see where our company is today. But I always say we are not perfect. We are learning. We're just like everyone else trying to figure it out. And so building partnerships like what we have with Dr. J over at Center State CEO to say like, hey, what are you all doing? It really does take a level of humility to know that you don't know everything and working together, because this isn't an individual problem. This isn't a one organization's problem. This is a systemic issue that is across our entire country. And so it's going to take all of us to work together in order to create, you know, sustainable change.
It's given us a really unique opportunity to try really hard to do something that, as a country, we've just continued to put band-aids over from generation to generation. And I think in this time, you know, what if Syracuse got it right? What if leaders came together and said, you know what, we may be the snowiest city in America, but we're also going to be the snowiest and most inclusive, because we need talent, we need diverse talent, we want a thriving, prosperous, healthy city and economy. And this is going to be one of the ways to get us there.
That's Johanna Rogers, Director of Community Engagement and Empowerment for Economic Inclusion at Center State CEO. She is the first person to hold that position. Rogers works internally on improving employee understanding of DEI issues, as well as externally with businesses on ways to think about the positive impact of racial equity on the workforce. Sadie Fisher is Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. The company's DEI office had been in place for about a decade when she arrived in 2019. She says they've been using technology and data to measure their progress on everything from hiring to promotions. Fisher also does external training, sharing the company's successes with other businesses. For City Limits, Winds of Change, I'm Scott Willis.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.